What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Danico Chart Podcast. Today, I'm here with Tony. How's it going, man?
I'm great, Danico. It's a pleasure to be on here with you today. How have you been?
I've been good. We have been talking for a couple weeks because he reached out when he saw one of my thumbnails and made a correlation. And basically, he wanted to bring you guys some value today and show you guys how to make money on YouTube without having to show your face. It's kind of like a buzz thing right now, wouldn't you say? I feel like even before you hit me up, I was seeing a bit more stuff about this, like people doing this. And I know it has been going on for a while, like prior to you hitting me up. But yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today, because obviously not everybody likes to show their face on camera. Some people are more introverted, and it's just another avenue for content creators to make money, and you can do both as well. So it should be a good topic to talk about, and it should be a lot of value brought to you guys. So hope you guys enjoy the podcast, and yeah, let's get right into it, brother. So first of all, as I said, this is Tony. And Tony, how long have you been doing YouTube? What's your YouTube history? Give us a little bit of a backstory.
So it's a bit of an interesting backstory, because there was a big kind of like gap between when I first started and when I first started making money from it. So when I was, this must have been back in 2012. I was like reposting other people's videos. On my YouTube channel, I created a YouTube channel, and I started reposting other people's videos on my channel back in 2012, and basically that channel ended up getting banned. Well, it ended up getting deleted because it was copyright content that was on that channel, and so that channel got deleted. But even on that channel, I was getting like millions of views on that channel. I grew it to like, I think it was around 15,000 subscribers, something like that. But I didn't make any money off it back then. Mm-hmm. I was uploading other people's videos, and eventually that channel got, yeah, it got taken down due to copyright issues. And, but I never really saw it. I never really saw YouTube as a way to make money. And so basically years later, which was the beginning of the first lockdown. So that must have been 2020, I believe, beginning of the first lockdown. It was 2020. And that was when I found out that you can actually make money from YouTube. Without having to show your face, without having to be on camera, without having to make videos yourself. And that was an interest to me, because I was like, hold on, I have a bit of experience in this before, I had a bit of success in this before, but it wasn't really like, I wasn't making money from it. I got millions of views, I've got tens of thousands of subscribers, but I never really monetized it. So imagine if I could monetize it and make it like something like an income stream. And so it was locked down, I was put on furlough from my job. They were still paying me through the government scheme, but I was stuck at home, and I was thinking, how can I make more money online? So at first I tried Forex trading, and Forex trading was a bit of an emotional roller coaster for me, because at first, it looks cool, but when you start doing it and you start learning the graphs and charts, and then you start winning a bit of money, and then you lose a bit of money, and then you start chasing your losses, and then it becomes the emotional roller coaster. Oh my day, it was something else for me. So I had a friend of mine who was teaching me Forex. So in my first 2 weeks, I made like $600, so around £500, $600. And 2 weeks later, I lost it all. I lost all my profits, and I started chasing my losses. I got greedy, exactly. And then I was like, man, is this how it is when people gamble? Because when people gamble, like, let's say on sports or on horses or on dogs, greyhounds, they put money on. Like, they put money in, they win a bit. And then they put more money in, they lose a bit. And then they feel the need to chase their losses. And it becomes like a downward spiral where they just lose so much money. Mm-hmm. So Forex kind of reminded me of how, like, gamblers go down the downward spiral. And so I came across an opportunity to learn how to make money on YouTube. So there was this course that I bought, and I started just battering out this course and just eating it like as if it was food, mate. I was just banging it out. Yeah. And so I just, when you're just hungry for something, you just go all in.
Quick interjection, because you mentioned Forex, I used to options trade. And when I was doing that, you probably know what that is, since it's like similar to Forex. I was just learning and consuming so much information, but continue. I was just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I mean, how did you find it when it was
options trading? I got into that like a while after I started investing. So I was investing like regularly for a while, like just in stocks and stuff. And then I wanted to make more quicker, and so I found options trading. And then for like a year and a half, 2 years, I was like, you were doing private Forex, reading on books, doing charts. So I was up here like 8:30 in the morning, studying charts and stuff, trading options. But, you know, I had a lot of good trades and I had a lot of long-term success, but I never had, like, a lot of big trades. So I was, like, consistent, but I never had, like, a lot of, like I said, a lot of huge trades. But, no, I still like to option trade and, like, look at the markets and stuff consistently just to keep up with it.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, so I started doing YouTube. I started my first channel. The first channel I started around, it was in 2020. I think it was May 2020. And so the method we use is called YouTube automation, is when you hire people from overseas to make videos for you. It's essentially each video is a four-stage process. The first stage is getting a scriptwriter to write the script of what the video is going to be about. The second stage is having a voiceover who will basically speak the script and bring that script to life with their voice and their personality. And then after that, after the second stage, which is the voiceover, you have the third stage, which is the video editor, who will then find the footage from Storyblocks, from Envato Elements, or from other people's YouTube channels and other content on the internet, find all the footage, and then edit it out with background music, with the voiceover, to basically bring that voiceover and script to life. And then once you have those three elements, you then have the thumbnail, where you hire a graphic designer, or you could do this yourself, but I like to hire graphic designers to do it for me. So you hire a graphic designer, and they'll basically put on a high quality thumbnail that will provoke people to click on the video so that you can get paid on the clicks. Now, the way YouTube pays people, that pays creatives, is through the YouTube, the Google AdSense, because Google is owned by YouTube, so we use Google AdSense. Well, YouTube uses Google AdSense to pay you. So every time somebody clicks on your video, you get paid because of the adverts that are played on your video. So when somebody clicks on your video and an advert is played before your video, the creator gets a around a 40% cut of the of the money that the advertiser paid to YouTube. So that's basically how the creators make money on YouTube. However, in order to have that, you need two requirements. So your YouTube channel needs to have at least 1,000 subscribers plus 4,000 hours of public watch time in order to qualify to basically make money from YouTube through the advertising part. Now, so I started my first channel, did a few videos. It wasn't going too well at first, and I'll be honest, it was slow starting. Videos were getting like 10 views and then 100 views, and I was like, I went for a couple months of just getting like really low views, and I was getting really discouraged, and I was feeling like giving up. And I was thinking, mate, am I just burning money on all of these YouTube videos? And how, you know, all these thoughts start going through your mind, and you know when you put so much time and energy and money into something, and then it's just you don't see the fruit of your labor. Yeah, it can be a bit discouraging. And so these videos weren't really doing anything special. They weren't doing any crazy numbers at first. But then there was one particular topic that was doing pretty good. It was about the Dubai man-made islands. And so I did one video about that, and then it got more traction than all the other videos. And so I thought, maybe I should do more videos on that. And so I had a friend of mine who was actually giving me advice on how to make money on YouTube as well. He was a YouTuber, but he was basically showing his face. So he was just saying, mate, just double down on what's working. And it was the Dubai videos. And I just started doing more videos on Dubai and the man-made islands, on their underwater train, on their theme parks, on like different their underwater hotel, like different things that Dubai has created and developed. And yeah, I just started making different videos about them, about those topics. Those topics began to do really well. I began to get a couple videos that began to pop off. Some videos got tens of thousands of views, some hundreds of thousands of views. Some were even in the millions, and I even had one video that hit 22 million views. Jeez. And so yeah, when I got monetized, YouTube accepted me into the partnership program. I just started making money from all of the views that were going into it. I found out other little tricks and tips, like how to play more adverts on your videos. So one tip I'll give to content creators out there is to make sure that your videos are 8 minutes long, or at least over 8 minutes long. Because if your videos are over 8 minutes long, YouTube enables you to put in-stream ads. So if your video is under 8 minutes long, then you can only put videos at the start of your video. So the viewers will only see adverts at the start of your video, and after that, at the end of the video. However, if you have an 8-minute video, you can actually strategically put adverts in between, which enables you to make more money, because the more adverts that are shown to the viewer, the more money you get. So I started doing those little tips and tricks, started making more and more money. Yeah, I've had some really good months. I've had months where I've made $7,000, another month where it was around $14,000. And yeah, it could be very profitable if you put the work in. And what I've done just recently, I have had another one of my YouTube channels just got accepted into monetization just recently.
Oh, and
it's already, yeah, thanks for that. And it's already been it's been approved, and it's already generated money in the past 2 days. And I'm looking forward to having multiple streams of income. So I like to say that building YouTube channels are like digital assets. They are like digital real estate. So just like you would buy a house and collect money from the rent, and then after a while you would buy another house, and then after you make more money from that house, from the rent that you collect from that house, you reinvest the profits to buy another house, then another house, then another house. That's kind of what I'm doing with YouTube channels. So I have a YouTube channel, I've made money from it, and I reinvest the profits from that YouTube channel into another channel, and then once that channel gets monetized, I can use those profits to open up a new YouTube channel, then a new YouTube channel, and yeah, eventually you have this portfolio of digital assets that pay you monthly, which is pretty much less stressful than having a property portfolio, because I actually know, I'm very good friends with a property developer who's a very wealthy individual, and he has many properties, and he develops properties, and he sells them, and he rents them out, and he tells me the absolute nightmare he goes through when it comes to property development, how he's had architects try to steal his idea, how he's had people try to scam him, and yeah, just different crap that he goes through as a property developer. Yeah, so I was telling him, mate, you need to go into YouTube.
Yes, when it comes to your process, I know you talked about it a little bit, the 4 steps. Do you want to go into depth a little bit more about those and maybe talk about where you're hiring people from? Because I know you told me that you like to hire out of the country so you can get a better bang for your buck. And so maybe people are interested in that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for that. I do like to hire overseas. And the reason for that is because it's much cheaper, as you said. And yeah, I'm living here in the UK, and for those in the West, in USA, Canada, you can get a more bang for your buck if you hire people from third world countries such as the Philippines, Pakistan, Bangladesh, because our currency is much stronger than theirs, and $50 to us is like $500 to them. So you can literally get a more bang for your buck. And so the process that I do when I start hiring people is I do a bunch of interviews with a bunch of different people. So I go on websites such as Fiverr. I also use Upwork. And I also use another platform called onlinejobs.ph, which is exclusively for those in the Philippines. So Upwork and onlinejobs.ph, those are the three ones I use. So the way I like to do my hiring process is I like to get a bunch of individuals up for the hiring process. I won't just hire the first person who gives me his portfolio, even though his portfolio is great, even though his price is good. I will still look at different, I'll still look for my options, and I'll do a bunch of people and do an interview process. So I like to use a Zoom, I like to jump on a Zoom call with the person who's looking for to be a video editor and so forth.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's like this.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, so I like to do the interview with them, and I have a bunch of people who I interview, and as I'm interviewing them, I just ask them a bunch of questions. How long have you been a video editor for? Send me your portfolio. Can you do Adobe After Effects? Can you do 2D graphs? Can you do 3D motion graphics? And I just have a bunch of questions that I ask them, just to know where they are at and their price point and so forth. And yeah, and I always look at the little things, like if they turn late to the meeting that we had booked. Like even today, I was doing another interview with a video editor, and he didn't show up to the Zoom call, and so I messaged him. I'm like, what's going on? And then after an hour, he replies saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Could we rebook?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah, let's jump on now." And we jumped on the call, and he did apologize and so forth. But I had mercy, because you know I've been late for many meetings in my life. You know, I've screwed up a lot of times when it came to meetings. Yeah, and so forth. So, I do have a bit of compassion, but I still keep an eye on these little things, you know, because if that happens again and then another time, then I kind of know it's a bit of a habit of his to be late and to not deliver on time. Because if he's late for a meeting, that might mean that he might not deliver on time, the video.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and when it comes to trending topics, you need speed, mate. Because when something's trending, you need to jump on the wave of virality before it runs out. And so,
what are the you gave some of the places? Pakistan, the Philippines. Are those the only places where you hire from, or what other places do you look for when it comes to hiring?
That's a good question. I mean, I've used mainly the Philippines and Pakistan. I have used also Nigeria as well, Nigeria, Ghana, and sometimes when I'm looking for like more quality, I have hired from the US as well. I mean, my voiceovers have always usually been from the US, because yeah, you just want that quality as well. And yeah, I have hired from like Germany and like more economically developed countries, and that's when I'm kind of looking for more quality, because when they're more familiar with the English language and certain graphics and so forth, it's better. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get great quality from the third world countries, but essentially you will get more quality from the like Western nations.
Yeah. It's just harder for them because they don't have access to that technology as easily as we do out here. And so it's understandable. So the script, when it comes to like compiling all these people together, are you trying to hire all from the same area for one channel? Or do you not really mind if, say, you have a script writer from Pakistan and a editor from, you know, the Philippines for one channel?
I'm not too fussed. I mean, as long as there's the quality, as long as the video is banging and it can get loads of views, that's the only thing that really matters. If they're from different countries, yeah, I'm not too fussed about that. I'm like, my job there is I'm like the quality control guy. I make sure that the script is good, because I always proofread the script to make sure there's no spelling mistakes or there's something there that doesn't make sense. I always proofread the script. I then listen through the voiceover, sometimes not always through the voiceover, but I always have like a bit of a listen through the voiceover. And then after the voiceover, I always watch through the video to make sure that the video is on point. And I always ask myself the question, will I watch this video? Will I click off? Like, why would I watch through the whole video? And the intro is the most important part of the whole video, because the first 30 seconds of a video is basically going to determine whether the viewer is going to stay on and watch the whole video, or if he's going to click off and, you know, do something else or watch something else. So the first 30 seconds is what I'm very watchful for. So I always look very closely at the first 30 seconds, and I always ask myself, okay, is this a banging 30 second, is this a banging intro? Will this make me like watch to the end of the video? So I watch through the video editing, and then I obviously go through the thumbnail, make sure that the thumbnail's on point. I have in the past split tested thumbnails as well, so I have split, I've used a software called TrueBuddy, which enables you to split test thumbnails, where for the first time of a video being uploaded, let me mute my phone.
Do you scoot the mic a bit closer if possible?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
Where was I? What didn't you hear?
I heard everything. You're just getting a little quiet.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, I watch through the video, and then I look at the thumbnail, and I make sure that the thumbnail's on point. And so, like, even though I do hire the people out, I don't exclude myself from the process. I am in the process. And yeah, it's my job to make sure that the quality is on point and that everything's on point, and that, yeah, no stone is left unturned. Because from my experience, what I've noticed is that no one cares more about my business than I do. And that's just the truth. And even if you hire people and even if you pay them well, at the end of the day, it's not their business, it's your business, and they're not going to love or care for your business more than you are. So sometimes they're slack, and sometimes if you don't keep an eye on your employees, on your freelancers, they will slack up, they will make mistakes, they will screw up, and you have to make sure that your eyes are on them all the time, on their work, making sure that the quality is on point. Because if you don't, believe me, the quality will drop and you will regret it. You'll lose retention.
Yeah. So what about when it comes to picking trending topics? What are some of your strategies for when it comes to, you know, finding things that are trending in that time?
That's a good question. I have like a three kind of requirement thing that I look for when I'm looking for a trending topic. And this is really good for those who are starting out. For those who are starting out in YouTube, what YouTube is doing right now for the smaller channels is that YouTube is really promoting the smaller channels' videos. If you look at some of the viral videos that are coming out right now, a lot of them are from smaller channels with like 300 subscribers, 400 subscribers, because YouTube is doing something with small channels. They're really promoting their videos. And so this is really good for the small channels. So what I'll do is, when I'm looking for a viral video, what I'll do is I'll scroll through YouTube in the niche that I am in. If I'm in the technology niche or in the fashion niche or in the luxury niche, I'll go through I'll type in luxury cars or luxury watches, and I will scroll through the videos and I will look for a video that has three characteristics. Now, the first characteristic is, has it got loads of views? Has it got 50,000 views and plus? Because if it does, then it's hit the first characteristics. It's most likely trending. The second characteristic is, was that video posted recently? When I say recently, I mean within the past two weeks. Maybe in the past month, you can get away with that, but ideally in the past 2 weeks, because if it already hit 100,000 views within 7 days, then that video is only going up. So if it's hit 100,000 views in 7 days, that thing is going to go to probably a million within the next few days. So I look at those things. So if I see a video in my niche that has hit 100,000 views within 7 days, that's got two green ticks right there. The third green tick I need to see is, was that channel that uploaded the video a small channel? Because if it was a larger channel that has 10 million subscribers, then those views are most likely coming from the subscribers, and they're not coming from what people are searching for at that time. And so that's the three green ticks. Is the first green tick is, has that video gone viral? If it has, when was it uploaded? If it was uploaded recently, then is the channel a small channel? Small channel, I mean at least small, lower than 1,000 subscribers. If it has lower than 1,000 subscribers, then that video is trending, that topic is trending, and what you can do is not copy the video, but you can come at the video from a different angle. So for example, if a video was about how Cristiano Ronaldo spends his money, you can do a video about the top luxury cars of Cristiano Ronaldo, or the top mansions of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, you know, branching off of the original video with different ideas and different things that people might be searching for related to that video. And I was actually watching a live stream today, and they were saying how that's another thing people should do to, like you're saying, garner views off of viral videos and trending topics. And I wanted to talk about the first 30 seconds of the video, again, because like you said, the script is very important, and I know that parlays into the 30 seconds. And on the live stream I was watching today, you might know who this is, Nick Nimmin. He's a YouTube streamer, creator. He's a teacher basically for YouTube. And I bought a super chat, was asking him what he thinks the best way to keep people interested in the first 30 seconds of the video is, because on my channel I make like listicle videos, so it's like lists of different kinds of things. And basically saying to always be trying stuff, but get to the point as quick as possible. And is that something that you're doing in your videos in the first 30 seconds, getting to the point as quick as possible? Or are you kind of giving still an intro in the first 10 to 15 seconds and then getting into the point?
Yeah, that I like to get to the point straight away and like answer the question straight away. So if I ask a question in the video, like what is the tallest skyscraper in the world, I would get straight into it in the intro, because I just want to answer that question straight away. Otherwise people can get a bit frustrated. They might click off. They might think, oh, this guy's, you know, if you start, like even for me, if I click on a YouTube video, and as soon as I click on the YouTube video, they're telling me the intro of their channel. They're telling me to like and subscribe. Like I haven't even watch the video, why should I click like, you know? I just have the same mindset as what I would do if I was watching a video. I like to get to the point straight away. That doesn't mean that that's the only way you should do it, because there's some other videos that do very well where they kind of ask the question at the start of the video, and then throughout the video they answer the question, and that kind of can get people. If you tell people that you're going to answer the question to their video, that you're going to answer the question at the end of the video or throughout the video, that kind of makes some people stay, because they're like, okay, let me watch this video to understand. But then again, it goes hand in hand with the topic. That's, I would suggest just go straight to the point and knock it out of the park like that.
Yeah, because he also said that it's very common, almost all YouTube videos, there's going to be that dip at the start, but the real key is figuring out how to negate it and get it to straighten out as quick as possible in the kind of content you're making. And so what would you think, or what would you say is a good way in the content, what are the ways right now in the content that you're making that you're hooking people or keeping people engaged in the scripts or content itself?
That's a good question. What I like to do is I like to really punch the viewer in the face in the first 30 seconds of the video. So what I'm working on right now is, what we're doing is videos on mega projects. And so what we like to do is we like to really show the the vastness of the mega project. So if it's about a skyscraper, we'll have a voiceover say, "This is the world's tallest skyscraper," and then we'll have footage of the skyscraper with like intense background music. We really want to make it as if it's like a Netflix kind of style documentary thing, as opposed to saying, "Today we are going to look at the top 10 skyscrapers." You know, it's you really want to punch the viewer in the face, like, yeah, and yeah, use that strong masculine energy to really like shake them up, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. You don't want to be Mr. Nice Guy in your introductions. Same with your titles and your thumbnails. You want to really like punch the viewer in the face and do that as well on the thumbnail, I mean on the introduction, and really like get to the point. Yeah,
I agree with that. We haven't talked about thumbnails really, so when it comes to thumbnails and titles, how do I word this? The packaging, we all know, is very important because that's obviously the complement to the video itself. And so I've heard before, you want the thumbnail and title to kind of parlay into the video, obviously. But how do you think about the thumbnail and the title relative to the video? I'll ask this. Are you making these thumbnails and titles before you make the content itself? Or are you like getting an idea for the content and then generating the thumbnail idea?
When I get the video idea, I kind of have an image in my mind as to how I want the thumbnail to look. So what I've been doing, actually, this is just recently, I've been writing down the title of the video, and then under it, I'll write down how I'd want the thumbnail to look like, as opposed to just leaving that with my graphic designer. So I like to look at the thumbnail. I like to write out the thumbnail and just envision it in my mind, what will sell, what will make people click on it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would recommend for people to do. They literally write down the title and the thumbnail of the video that they're going to be doing.
Yeah, because my process is I'll usually come up with the video idea and then ideate or, you know, start working on some kind of thumbnail. I usually just go right into Photoshop. I don't usually draw it out or anything like that. I go into Photoshop. I'll have a few different variations maybe, and then I'll start inserting PNGs and stuff like that. And then I usually have the title at that point already. It's already constructed as well. But so you got the video editor, voiceover, the scriptwriter, and the graphic designer.
That's it.
So what else is there if there's anything else that you think, like, because basically, like you said, you're managing all these people, you're putting the video together, or not putting the video together, but like I said, you're the CEO of this little YouTube automation group. But what else is there to this that people aren't hearing or like might not know, or questions I haven't asked really, because like I said, I'm not this is your subject matter. So what else should we know about this?
Yeah, you can hire someone to be your manager where they will do the uploading as well. You can also hire someone separately to look for the video idea. So essentially that's my job right now, but I can in the future hire someone to look for the video idea. The reason why I like to do it is because I'll only really do a video that I kind of know that will go viral, as opposed to just hiring someone who will just look for anything just to look like they're doing their job.
Yeah.
So, and that's another thing. You can get someone to look for a video idea, a viral video idea, and then there's nothing else I can think of. That's pretty much it.
I mean, that's great, man. Where should people follow you? Like socials and stuff like that? You're providing a lot of value, so I'll make sure people get to, you know, follow you and find out where you are as well.
Yeah, sure. I have a link that I'm going to put for you to share if you can.
Yep, yep.
For people where they can get more information about how to make money on YouTube. So, yeah.
Is it your course?
Yes.
Do you have a course?
So I do have a paid course that we have for people who are just starting out and they want to learn how to do this. I do have a link that leads to a free training, and then at the end you can book a call with me and then we can discuss what you want to achieve and how we can get you there.
All right, man, I appreciate that. Make sure you guys check it out if you guys are interested in, you know, automating a YouTube channel or your YouTube channel. As far as thumbnails, because those are just another thing that people, obviously every YouTuber is, you know, making, what would you say, just if you have any quick tips on thumbnails or things that make thumbnails stand out? And I'll give a few that I have recently learned, or, you know, try to, you know, I can go first. One that I recently found out, and it has to do with the color wheel, and I've been making videos for around 7 years now, and I just now learned this, and you want to try to pick colors that are on the opposite sides of the color wheel in a way. And so when it forms together, the thumbnail, like say you pick a yellow, let me just pull up a color wheel real quick so I can have a, you know, good example. So I'm looking at a color wheel, yellow's on top, blue and pink are on the bottom. So in the thumbnail I most recently did, the background was like kind of a darkish blue, and then on the subjects in the front they had a yellow tint, and like overall it was just more yellow. And so with that, like the the subject on the front, since the background is dark and the colors on the opposite sides of the spectrum on the color wheel, it helps the subject stand out more. I don't know if you ever heard that. It's technical, and so, like, you know, I'm out here trying to find any tip that I can to give me the advantage, you know. But I was looking at thumbnails like Mr. Beast and just other big creators, and you can see this correlation. Like, they'll pick like a dark background, and then they'll have a. And Mr. Beast is like, I was surviving 50 hours in a prison or something like that. He had a pretty dark background, and then a very bright orange jumpsuit. And so the general idea is to just make sure there's a really big contrast, and having the subject in the video stand out really.
Yeah, that's good.
Another little tip, or another like thing that I use, is like you can separate the thumbnail into three different parts, you know, so you got the left, middle, and the right, or the top, middle, and center. And so putting things that correlate, like, you know, not having words in the very middle of the screen if they don't really need to be there, so keeping those at the bottom or the top, and then having that subject in the center is something that people should pay attention to. But yeah, just because we haven't talked about thumbnails, I thought I would throw those in there. It's a little bit more value, but if you have anything too.
Yeah, sure. What I'll suggest with thumbnails is make sure that they are high contrast. Like you mentioned, Mr. Beast, he uses like high contrast thumbnails. So what he would do is, he invests around per thumbnail. He said that he invests around $5,000 per thumbnail. And the reason why he does is because the thumbnail is going to determine whether his video is going to get 10 million or 100 million. So he says he invests a lot of money onto the thumbnails. And what he does is, or what I'd suggest doing is always have emotion, always seek to trigger the emotion of the viewer. If your face is on the video, then put your face on the thumbnail with emotion. That's really something that sells, and you can use high contrast editing on the image. And also you can even, like, what people like to do is like change the color of your eye to blue. And for some reason a lot of people do this, and I think even Mr. Beast, I don't think his eyes are blue, but on his thumbnails his eyes seem to be like this bluish color.
I think they're blue. They just
Saturate it
a lot,
so he just intensifies the blue in his thumbnails, and like the colors are like even changed a bit in his thumbnails. So yeah, always seek to just spark emotions. That's the main that's the greatest advice I'll give. Just people will click on your video because of emotions, not because of logic, but because of emotions. Just hit them, just punch them in the face with a high contrast thumbnail. Even make it a bit controversial, even something a bit like fake, like an elephant the size of a freaking skyscraper, you know, or something.
We're not in the clickbait era anymore, but there should always be a bit of clickbait, an element of some kind of clickbait to the title or thumbnail, so it gets people to, you know, come into the video and keep them curious.
Yeah, it's like a book cover. That's how I like to see it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I think about it, for sure. It's like you get a package to sell a book every day or every time you upload a video.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of book covers are like, in a sense, clickbait, but no one complains.
Sure. Yeah. Well, this has been a great talk, man. Is anything else?
If there's anyone out there who's looking to make money on YouTube, don't think that you need to show your face. Don't think that you need to make videos yourself. Anyone can do this. Just go out and start. And just stumble your way into success. Never give up. Like with my journey personally, when I was making those videos, I felt like giving up when the videos weren't doing anything. A couple hundred views, 10 views, 20 views. I felt like giving up, but I kept going, kept being consistent. And eventually I saw results. So just keep going, don't give up, and just keep pressing.
Yeah, like you said, with YouTube, you're always juggling so many skills and always trying to get better at so many individual skills that usually, like you're doing, one person would be doing. And so when you have it all on your plate yourself, it can be overwhelming. But like you said, just to continue down that road and to not give up is going to be the best option, because everything compounds over time. And you're going to get better at writing scripts, editing videos, making thumbnails. And, you know, as long as you're always analyzing and trying to get better, then it's pretty much inevitable that you're going to get to a point where you're, you know, satisfied, or at least you're doing better than you were before. And, I mean, with that, make sure you guys go follow Tony and check out the link to his course in the description if you guys are interested in making YouTube videos without showing your face and making some cash. And leave a review for the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'd appreciate it. And it's been great, man. I really appreciate you doing this.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for providing the value. Glad we got it done. Took two tries, but, you know, it is what it is. And so it's for the people. It's for these content creators out here like you and myself. And
amazing. Thank you so much, Danico, for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care.